Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Centaurs!
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
So as heard on 107.7 The End in Seattle, hello there, I'm Gregor, and welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. This is Nerd Talk Plus, the most difficult show on the internet to find. Great job, everybody. From the wasteland of Eastern wherever, he's our Skin Squatch, your Montana Mountain King, broadcasting from Siege's future bedroom and bathtub. He's now officially the Lord of Horse Ghost Manor. Brandon from the Laundromat. Hello, Brandon.
What's up? I feel like I missed,
are you disappointed? Or
I feel like I missed a lot of, I don't know. I feel like you guys were like sad without me for a few minutes before I got on the show, and I feel like I had FOMO.
Well, we're sad without you, and we're also sad with you. So
yeah, it's creeping death inside.
I feel like I got to tell. I mean, this is very show relevant. I was in a.
Is your name Hot Squirrel?
Hot Squirrel. Yeah. Oh, I got a lot of squirrel content today, you guys.
Let's go.
But I was at a. I was in this class. I told you guys about this over the text thread. But I was in this class and Master Cheeks Theater is what it's called, or is it? Yeah. Or is it Secret Buttholes? It's one of those.
It's one of them.
Yeah. So we were in the text, and I was in this class, and the lady was teaching about something real estate related, and she said, you can't just be dead inside, like referring to some way of interacting with people. And I was like, joke's on you.
Listen here, lady, real estate lady.
Yeah. And?
Yeah. You want to hang out later? I got a podcast you can be on. We need guests.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have one guest lined up, and he's a radio person, Tanner Chambers. Shout-outs to Tanner. And
dummy.
I followed through 0% on that.
Tanner's going to be like the Lindsey Buckingham on that SNL sketch where like yeah. We always say we're going to have him on, and then he never is.
He's our Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's the first person in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem actually worth it. Oh, I guess I didn't keep what I said last time. He's just a meat vessel for human gratification, the Mandarin Floridian. Hello to Siege, everybody.
Diola, Wang Shang Hadi, Chilama, Bei Shou Sir Shu Shen Mei Gua, Bei Shou Zhao Yang Zhe Ma.
Wow.
Do you remember, hey, Hot Squirrel, you went all dark
yeah,
there, buddy.
There?
Look
oh
at him.
Goodness.
Cool. I like it. That's kind of creepy and sexy.
Now you
time.
Can
I was like a Darth Squirrel for a second.
Okay. Well, disregard what I said at the top of the show before we started.
Can Vader?
Wow. All right. Well, what did I say last week, Siege? That was funny. That caught you off guard. Oh, that you needed a
undercoat for his penis. Yes. a support,
an emotional support vest. Yeah.
And helping us behind the scenes and then schooling us at the end, we have producer Sean Tasty Gravy Gervin, reigning champ of Guinness time. So, anyway, if you can help us out, none of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong and potentially what we get right. You could tell a friend also, that'd be great. Write a review or just say, find us online to say sexy things about Siege and his thunder coated penis at nerdtalkplus.com. Yeah. How's everyone doing today? And did anyone get more than 3 hours of sleep?
No.
Why is that? Yeah. Why is that true for all of us?
We're all up in the middle of the night.
Well, Siege doesn't operate like a human, normal functional human, so that's part of it. Yeah. And then Gravy and Brandon both have tiny children, multiple children, not tiny.
Can I tell you guys?
I mean, they are small.
Speaking
of
my children, the older of the two is three, and he wanted to play robots today. And he was like, Daddy, act like a robot. And so I was...
no disassemble.
Well, so I was like, I started like doing the
Stephanie.
Doing kind of like the old school robot, and then I was like, wait a second, what's it going to be like when kids these days have to act like? I started.
You're going to have to do the side flips like the Boston Dynamics.
Dude, I started running around like the Boston Dynamics one, and it was like, it's so fun to pretend like you're getting pushed by the end of somebody else's broom, and you're like, I realized, I was like, man, like the robot, the typical like characteristic of like, if you were going to act like a robot, you're going to do like the leg out, down, like forward, down, like just very rigid. Yeah. But when you do the boss, it's so much more fun to act like the Boston Dynamics robot because you just take a lot of little steps. You just go, tink,
but
tink, 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 tink.
Brandon, in reality, if you want to act like a robot, you just start d***ing people off because that's the future of robots. That's where we're headed.
Hey, man, my 3-year-old is doing that plenty for himself right now.
Wow.
People off.
Yeah,
like
no.
$200 left and right.
Wow. Old soft hands Gerg retiring. My protege.
You're going to fund that studio in no time, buddy.
Wow.
I was going to say you get down on all fours like the little dynamic dog and strap a gun to your back.
Oh, yeah.
Do the robot starts cleaning the kitchen. Like, all right. I mean, that will be great when we have robots do that stuff. We won't be able to afford it. They'll just use robots to replace us at work, but, you know, that's cool. And the human juicer, no one cares. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything of significance going on in anyone's life?
Crap, man. I have a segment, but I need a second. So talk amongst yourself while I figure it out.
Siege, how's China?
China's been great. I was actually broadcasting live from the voiceover booth today while I was doing a movie that's supposed to be coming out there.
I'm curious to see when they surpass us in obesity because they've got 4 times the people that we do. And I mean, you just send us nonstop disgusting videos.
Oh man, they're so great though. That food is amazing.
Some of it. I think you like the part where the lady's mean and yells while she's cooking your food.
Oh yeah, I love that part. That's my favorite. Yeah. I love to be yelled at.
I found her on TikTok forever ago also. So like she gets around. So good for her.
Good for her. She's mine.
It just feels, please.
Yeah. No, but what was it? Speaking of how you were just saying that, like how China's going to pass us in obesity, they literally just came out with a thing that they're dedicating the next 3 years.
It's a robot. It's you off. Huh? Yeah.
It's Brandon's kid. No.
Yeah. They just came out with it. It was crazy.
It was amazing.
Brandon, you sure you're putting that kid to bed? Or?
Well, I don't have questions.
They just dedicated the next 3 years to national health because they were like, yeah, we're getting too fat. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up a whole bunch of free gyms and like do all this stuff and like give everybody like reasons to go work out because we're getting too fat and we need to be healthy again, even though they're already like way healthier than us.
Liberal agenda.
I know,
have they considered shooting guns in the air?
This is what happens when you let the communists win.
That's how you get fatter. Have you seen Florida?
Guys, I went to T-Mobile Park the other day, and this has to do with Saturday Night Live also. As a nation right now, white guys, not looking good. I mean,
nope.
Someone described me as looking rough, but I saw these people and like the Shane Gillis look. It works for Shane Gillis, but one is enough.
Yeah.
Things are looking bad out there. Dudes, let's do better. Let's take China's lead here and do some exercise or something, because it was all like the fashionable mullet of a few years ago now is like the chubby guy with the too small of a hat mullet now, and it's curly, and it's just none of the clothes fit, but not in like cool way. It's just not, none of it is good. And so just being super judgy from my castle here, but it's like, oh, we're in a bad time right now.
Nice to say there, 18 pumpkin Gerg.
Just wait till you find out about the government, Gerg. It's not going well.
All right, I found what I needed.
Oh?
It's time for a new segment of the show called This Week in Blimps. Thank you for that.
When did you get sound effects? I love that for you.
I didn't get sound effects. That was me enlisting Siege in my blimp talk preparation. The only time I've ever done preparation for this show was me saying, I think I texted Siege and said, I need a big boing noise. And this is what he came up with. So, and for the record, because this is my segment, Gravy is not allowed to come off of mute the entire time.
Great. As the official host and producer of this show, I love when a segment pops up that I don't get a say in, and it has rules.
Yeah, that's the one rule. It's the one rule.
Right, I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying, I legitimately am here for it. Yeah. So let's go.
The 4 days ago posted to R Aviation, so just so you know, it wasn't just some weird blimp nerd posting in Blimp Reddit.
Okay. This is in the larger umbrella of aviation nerds.
Yeah,
okay. I was going to say we've branched out.
I would say like airplane nerds are probably the more respected of the flying
nerds.
Wait, hold on. Let's rank. Sorry, Gravy, you can't be part of it, obviously, because Brandon said you couldn't. Okay. Let's rank people who get in and become enthusiasts of vehicle types. Like there's trains.
Ooh, can we do it in a bracket?
I don't know that there's enough.
Do you have your whiteboard?
Trains and cars.
Hey guys, she's the 3-year-old.
Monorail.
Oh, you're not there. Yeah, I can't see him at all, but hi. So what do you think?
What
do you have in your hand? Is that a milkshake?
So what do you think about blimps? You don't know. Okay.
Ask him to do the robot. Do the robot.
So, do the robot. Act like a robot.
Oh, I can't see anything.
No, he said no.
He said no. Well, that's like robots. Robots are going to deny everything that we say to.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What are we ranking?
Well, we need to rank
the blimp to train scale.
No. The communities of people who obsess about vehicles, like aviation,
car people,
trains, cars,
Tesla,
trucks,
Tesla nerds.
I mean, so we can get pretty granular with it if we end up doing a bracket someday. But like, who do you think is the most normal? Probably car people, since we have the most contact with cars, right?
Yeah, probably.
And who do you think has the biggest, who do you think has the hardest time at a party talking about their thing? Trains?
Jeeps.
Boats? Dude, people love Jeeps, man. People love,
Jeep people, I feel like, are tribal. Like, they don't hang out with non-Jeepers.
They're too busy, pretending like their Jeep's going to get up that rock or whatever. Yeah.
let me take a picture of this. First, let me try to drive up on this rock.
So it's got to be cars, planes, trains, right? That's the order.
I feel like anybody who's like, you guys see blimps, I feel like you would imagine would be lower on that scale, except for the fact that I feel like if I walked into any party and went, do you guys want to talk about blimps? Most people would be like, yeah. I feel like blimps, we're not talking about blimps enough. Or zeppelins, otherwise known as rigid airships.
Now, I feel, are blimps part of aviation, or are they, or would you consider them a bottom 10, too specific, they have their own category, or are they part of the bigger aviation conversation?
I think within aviation, you have enough distinct, like, I'm not going to say like, oh, like I would say like airplanes, helicopters, and blimps. Like those are.
I was going to say there's only like three real categories unless like you start one of combining like jump jets and stuff.
Yeah, and you
like
could
that.
Go like, oh, well, propeller planes versus jet engines versus blah, 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 like fighter.
What's the one where you're like sitting down in a lawn chair and there's an engine strapped to your back and then you've got like a.
Oh, yeah, hang glide, or not hang gliding.
Parasail or something?
Yeah. Well, that's the one that's off of the back of a boat. There's so much crossover. We're going to have to do
paragliding. Yeah, that's probably it. So, too bad we don't have anybody here who's really an enthusiast for motor vehicles to tell us about what's up. That's too bad.
Or somebody who has access to Google during this show.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So anyway, Brandon, I just had to clear that up, which is the trainiest of the
So
of
I would
the
like to the week in blimps was a big week. 4 days ago, posted to our aviation was the first free flight of Pathfinder 1, the largest aircraft in the world. And it's a large, rigid airship, otherwise known as a Zeppelin. And you can actually call this one a Zeppelin because it was made with parts from the Zeppelin company based out of Germany, which is still making blimp pieces.
Zeppelin pieces, probably.
Yeah. Pieces for...
when you have that kind of specialized engineering, I mean, even though your one hallmark goes up in flames, like, probably valuable.
I do want to throw gravy a bone here. I want to throw him a little gravy bone. The first comment in this post is from Quick Blur, and they say, largest aircraft in the world can seat up to 14 people.
Yeah, but how much fun are those 14 people having?
Yeah,
I'd be so scared the whole time. Now, Brandon, are you familiar with the tattoo artist in Seattle called Kyler Martz?
Yes, very.
He was a tattoo artist. Now he's just a pop culture
Limp
art
pilot
guy.
Oh, okay.
No, but you know he does whales on everything. I'm almost certain he has a whale blimp. We got to check into that. But like that's your next tattoo, brother. Yeah. Is whale blimp for 100%. Sure? I mean, you already have one. Cephalopod, is that what it's called?
No, cetacean.
Cetacean, yeah, that's what it is. Thank you.
Cephalopod, that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway,
cephalopod is like a wouldn't that be
it's a dinosaur?
No. It's more of like a gravy. You can talk for this part. This is not blimp.
No, breaking the rules. I won't have it.
I thought the cephalopod was some sort of what do you call it? I know there's another word for this. Crustacean.
Google says. Animal. A cephalopod is like an octopus.
Yeah. Okay. Animal. I would like to bring it back to somebody who, you know, because I will be honest, Gravy started to give me doubt into my own excitement about the blimp because of
look
his,
at him smiling over.
Thank God you found some weed.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
He's back, everybody.
No, thank God I found user Graf Zeppelin 127 on the R Aviation thread. Who debunked, somebody put in a very large gravy-esque takedown of blimps in Reddit, and this guy responded to debunked line for line, and I would just like to read a few of the pieces just so we all know why blimps are great, and rigid airships of all sorts are great. First of all, people want to say, a 747-8 can carry nearly 30 times more tonnage than the Pathfinder 1. According to Graf Zeppelin 127, he says, bit of a strange comparison that in the first place, the Pathfinder isn't intended for carrying practical cargo. It's a subscale laboratory and training ship, which sounds awesome. And lavatory is what originally thought I said.
Oh, I was going to say, wait a second.
It is a flying toilet.
It's a flying
people
toilet.
Are just taking dumps
a
from the sky.
Today. Yeah.
It's a blimp.
The real comparison we should be making between the blimp and any other of the aviation categories is the cargo helicopter, the largest of which still today can carry 8.5 tons, just over 300 miles. However,
God, Gravy is going to die here. I mean, he like knows so much about helicopters.
He's chewing
dude.
On his own face.
The blimp.
One of us has survived a helicopter crash.
The ability,
twice.
The ability to fly on solar panel. I don't care about that. I'm talking about blimps. It fuel cells, no fossil fuels needed, and can perform VTOL operations despite having a vast internal cargo bay and the ability to carry significant payload within. It's just something you don't see every day.
14 people, everybody, and 5 science experiments.
Can carry gigantic wind turbine blades, which you can't put on a helicopter, airplane wings, mining equipment, rocket stages, all of these big
That's
things.
It's like 600 pumpkins.
It's a cargo helicopter for long things. It's basically, according to this guy. I don't even
care if it's efficient. Yeah. We drive individual cars all over the place all the time. Like, we are the kings and queens of inefficiency. Yeah. Who cares if the blimp goes slow and don't carry a lot? Let's
go. Does that mean we each get our own blimp?
Gravy wants to talk.
Gravy told, he did bring up the fact that you could just drive a semi-truck and carry just about the same amount of cargo as you could put on a blimp. However,
but would you be delicately... like gliding through the sky like a feather on the wind? No.
You could be training for arm wrestling like over
the top. Also, good luck driving a semi-truck into the middle of the desert where you have to, I don't know, deliver an airplane wing or something. I don't know what we're delivering out in the middle of the desert. Wind turbine. Yeah. So anyway, that's This Week in Blimp. That's all I got. Also, unfortunately, I think... Yeah.
This is the first and only segment of This Week in Blimp. I like that it's singular blimp too. I like that it's not. I like that it's not plural.
Yeah, and the news wasn't even about a blimp.
In blimp,
it was about a Zeppelin. There's also some debate about whether or not this was actually the largest flying vehicle of all time. But it depends on how you measure. Largest by volume, absolutely. Largest by length or girth or width, not necessarily. There are other bigger flyboys.
Like, what's the one that that takes the rocket between the two fuselages that it has? Virgin ran it for a while, or like Paul Allen was behind it. I don't know.
No, it was I think it was a Virgin Atlantic or a Virgin something like that. The scaled composite Strato launch.
There you go. Strato. Yeah. I remember that.
Who was it who wrote in and said that we have so much knowledge, but like, what the hell do we use it for?
Oh, podcast. That's the only thing that this is good for.
Yeah.
Being insufferable at a party. Like, it's like,
wait, they said like we as a species have a lot of knowledge, or we as us idiots have a lot of knowledge? Okay.
This show has so much knowledge.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great. Great new segment, Brandon. I'm really a big fan. I think that went really well. I think you're batting 1,000 for segments.
Let's see if it goes next week.
That I remember.
Gravy, you get a week to work on your rebuttal. And
unfortunately, you will also be required to be muted next week. Yeah. So work on it.
Gravy can yell into a void.
There's one rule. One rule. All right.
Yeah, hey, get a whiteboard, cool. Idiot.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't wait. So, what did we learn?
Well, I'll just mute him for that part in the in editing.
Just bleep it.
It's just cursing.
the reason I mute that Gravy is not allowed to talk is because I know that he's smarter than me about this stuff, and so I did need to silence the critics. Literally.
All right.
Yeah. Fascism. Blimp fascism.
Blimp fascism. Blimpism. Oh, that sounds a little too close to something else.
Okay, well, I guess we could do a story that I actually did on the radio. This at the time of actually probably it's just happening right now as we're broadcasting this. Maybe we'll keep an eye on the side here, but I had no idea that humans have never orbited the Earth to go by the poles, the North and South Pole, when we're in space.
Huh?
We've only ever done the.
It's because it's cold.
Ecliptical, is that what it's called? Not the elliptical, but the ecliptic.
Equatorial.
It's like the ring on Saturn. That's the pattern that we usually go in, and maybe a little variation from there. And the main reason is because it's harder to get people to this other spot, and you have to use more money. And if you have to use more money, then you have to beg NASA for more socialist subsidies for your rocket company. But apparently Elon has a hookup because SpaceX tonight is on March 31st sending up a rocket to send human astronauts to the circumnavigate the Earth from pole to pole.
April Fools! It's a Tesla. Oh.
It's actually a
sucks to be them.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's not airtight? Oh boy!
Somehow it still gets egged in space.
Somehow it's still like cutting me off in traffic and then driving slowly in the left lane.
Dude, hey, don't talk about my friend Rob like that.
I've got a friend called Rob that would do that too also. So, yeah, I got you. Anyway, yeah, so we've never done that before, and tonight at 8 p.m. on March 31st is the launch window,
right,
so that would
Hold
be
on.
Like right now. I'm sure there's a notification in my phone that I'm not paying attention to. It's named after there was a ship that went to both the North and South Pole to explore, and so it's named whatever that's called. I can't remember now, version 2 or whatever. It'll be with human astronauts, with inexperienced human astronauts. They're novice astronauts.
That seems going up. Safe.
Us.
I mean, dude, come on, bro. It's 2025. Either you're Chinese and working out, or you're just shooting from the hip.
Do you think that they're like they put the inexperienced ones on there because there's a higher likelihood of this thing not going well? So they're like, we got to save the good ones for the other ones.
So anyway, yeah, that goes up, and I guess I don't know what the factor, like how much more energy it takes, but if you think about it, like the analogy came to mind, and I ended up looking it up. But you know the weird track and field event where they spin around and they have that chain and then like the ball on the end of it and they spin around and they let it go and it goes flying?
Yeah.
And then you like see if you can throw it the furthest?
Oh.
Sorry. That was SpaceX.
Oh, okay. It was streaming. I was like, wow, is that the theme song for me talking about the,
yes. What is that called? Yeah. Hammer throw?
I should put that
That's
underneath.
Not hammer throw, is it?
But the idea is that like it's easier to if you spin yourself up and throw it than, as opposed to like shot put or whatever, yeah, where you put it under your chin. And I guess you still spin in that, but not as much or whatever. And so you use the Earth's rotation to get the projectile into space more easily.
I was
going to
say that's why they always use like launch sites as close to the equator as they can, like with Cape Canaveral, Florida, Vandenberg in California, or Europe even uses
like Virgin Islands or something. Like that, or?
It's somewhere down. I can't remember. Like Suriname. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. It might be an island off of Suriname.
Oh,
but
home of Kelvin Leardom, Golden Clog winner, 2018.
Yes. That's right.
Oh my God, Brandon, that was the best soccer joke that I think we ever made.
Yeah.
Thank you, Full 90.
The Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, we used to have an award that we gave to the Dutch player who scored the most goals in the league, because we had a Dutch player on our team, even though he wasn't actually
from
the Netherlands.
It's just Dutch speaking.
Were they two back-to-back?
We cut it off.
Yeah, because he was on Feyenoord or something?
Yeah. No, because so, he's from Suriname. I think they speak Dutch in Suriname or something like that.
I mean, it was probably one of the places like that was conquered by the...
Fun fact, Suriname in South America is part of CONCACAF.
Wow.
I
don't know how to deal with that information. Wow. That's something that the Americans won't know much about for a while, apparently.
That's right. Anyway.
Yeah, so what's the name of the – Gravy, can you Google that, please? What's the name of the island where they launch where the ESA launches their rockets from, so it's closer to the equator?
Well, did you see the one that they tried to launch just off of Norway the other day?
And it like spectacularly failed and made a fireball in the ocean.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was ESAR. That was the ESAR space people, though, which is basically the German one. There was is the first time, believe it or not, it was the first rocket that was ever launched from Western Europe.
What?
Whoa.
Like they were saying, there was.
Well, I mean, Hitler would like a word. I mean, well, like.
What's funny is while I was watching the broadcast, they made quite a few references to. Well, ESAR is from ESAR is the river that runs by Munich, and the Germans were very heavy into developing rocket launching and this and that, and we're surprised that this is the first space launch from. I guess it was from Western Europe that wasn't like. Off in the Canary Islands or something like that. But man, did you see that crash? That was incredible.
What's really been cool about rocket launches in the last 5 or 10 years is the ability to get drones and better cameras up at a low altitude. So you get to see what it looks like when it goes wrong and it tumbles back down to Earth. And you get a little bit of perspective, but it's also in a telephoto zoom. So like the background looks like it's so much closer to everything. And like people are definitely going to explode. Now, to be fair, the Chinese Space Agency, whatever they call that, is they fire rockets off that go streaking over urban centers right at launch. Yep. And when stuff goes wrong, it's just like, well, I guess we had enough people before. Save a few bucks on the next three years of Chinese workout classes or whatever it was. Do you think that they're getting everyone to work out because they're afraid that they're going to have a world war and they need their people to stop being fat and start being fit?
I saw today, didn't China China, Korea, and Japan all just agreed that they were going to work together on opposing American tariffs, which is like, man, you know you screwed up when those three countries are agreeing on something.
They hate each other individually, and now they're just like, yeah, America, you suck.
This is where the person who has the degree in political science probably could actually benefit us. That's he's refusing to
turn on his mic.
I mean, fair. That's a fair move, but yeah. I guess we'll never know. Well, that's shame on us. Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna try and we'll have some results. Are you gonna talk to us?
I see it.
Come on, Grape. No, come on.
There you go.
It's okay.
What's the question?
The question is like, what could be the actor behind the fact that like three countries that like have, you know, a long history of hating each other are uniting against the United States over tariffs.
100% tariffs.
Yeah, it's tariffs, and it's just because they know that economically they can band together and support each other. Other than geopolitically, where they might be like, oh, there's territorial issues, we have, you know, fishing rights or whatever it is, but we all export the same stuff to these people. So we need to make sure that we band together and kind of spread the weight of the tariff amongst all of us so that we don't all kind of get punched in the face with it. And we should all work together to open up markets with each other to find out ways we can sell this without having to impact the tariff.
Oh. So long term, are we super screwed because they're going to set up their whole thing and then we're just not going to be part of it?
This is the thing that makes me the maddest about the whole thing.
I wish everyone could see the
forehead wipe.
The forehead touch.
It's 80 years of American like progress with international trade, international relations, and influence in the entire world being thrown down the toilet right now. So that China, who was in a
trade.
The golden toilet.
China is primed to just step
out of the way, McDonald's. Here we come.
Yeah, they're ready to step into that gap. They've already done that quite a bit in Africa, and they've done it a lot in Southern America and places that we've stepped back from or that we've lost trust with.
Southern America, or South America, like Louisiana.
I mean, the Southern Hemisphere, but yes.
I mean, you know how much of America China owns, right? Like
Chilesiana. Brazil, Alabama
will end up in war. There's no way it doesn't.
Uruguay,
no way it
Argentina,
doesn't end up in some sort of a war. Argentina,
Peru, Mississippi,
Flolumbia.
Mexico.
Hey, howdy.
Yeah,
he hates that he turned on his mic.
Wait, so like in a way, even though
I have Brandon on one side of my screen and Gravy on the other, and they're like at diametric opposites right now, and it's amazing. Sean's like, I have like serious thoughts about this with an education background. I'm like stressed out about it, and Brandon's like, what happens if it's Brazil, Alabama?
Argy, Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done, Siege. We hurt Gravy, but in a way, we're kind of like
you can't hurt him.
We're solving world
he's dead inside. I know your realtor doesn't believe it, but
yeah, we're as a country, us screwing up is making everybody else come together. So
Venezuela.
It's kind of like the opposite of blaming the kids for a divorce. Like we're the ones being screwed up, and all of our friends, all of our parents in China and Japan, everybody's getting to be friends with each other, and all of their relationships are great now.
And yeah, they get to look at this train wreck.
We still get the same.
Good
problem.
For them.
Yeah,
good for them.
I've been saying good things about Japan for a long time. Hopefully, they'll adopt me.
Have you been there?
That'd be. You know what, Brandon? I have been to Japan.
What?
And,
when?
That's news. You guys heard of sumo?
Yeah.
Because it is.
Sumo. That sounds fantastic.
Hoshoryu, the newest Yokozuna, made his debut as a Yokozuna in the last tournament, and it did not go well. He had three losses after 9 days, and he decided to just not show up for the rest of the tournament, literally.
Wow.
He's allowed to. Because once you're Yokozuna, you can't be demoted. They might ask you to retire, and then it's like a forced retirement, but like one tournament's not enough to do it. So yeah, he showed up, and everyone had big expectations, but there's a lot of tough competition, and he was shut down pretty quickly.
Now he's got to take tickets.
You got to look out, because Koto Sakura is when healthy, also going to be Yokozuna. There's like no way around it. The guy's massive and really good. But then Asanoyama, who's my favorite, he had his ACL ruptured a year ago, and he just made it back and won the lowest division that he's in. Within, like, by, like, Christmas time, by, like, the November tournament, he could be back in the top ranks again. He still has the potential to make a run at Ozeki before his career is up.
Wow.
So that he can return to the position that he once held. I mean, Sumo Zeta is
how low
great.
Did he get demoted after the ACL?
Oh, I think he was Jonidan, I think, is the tournament that he won, which is the fourth level, I believe. It'd be like, well, there's no American equivalent, but it would be like League Two in European gotcha. In English soccer.
That seems rough. It's like you, like these are the biggest guys. And
the biggest boys.
Yeah. The, by far, I mean, like Roman Torre, man, lots of full 90 chat today.
Ooh, yeah.
They're the biggest boys putting the most pressure.
These guys are Golden Mawashi.
Yes.
Biggest boy.
Golden Mawashi sounds like something that happens naturally.
I peed in it.
Yeah. It sounds like what Japanese people pay for on the internet.
But, like, they put the most pressure on their tiny little, like, normal-sized human tendons that they have in their body, and then they get those torn out, basically. You blow them out, blow out the ACL, and then you just get, like, demoted. It's like it's not like, take some time to recover and you get back where you started, like where you were last at.
It's brutal.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, the only rank that doesn't get affected by performance is Yokozuna. Yeah. Once you're at the very pinnacle, that's the only time.
But it's like not even performing. It's just like acts of not even like acts of nature, but I guess it's like it's just you have an injury. That's not necessarily perform. Okay, what's am I missing?
Gravy sent us. He says, guys, Golden Horse Musashi is the name of a whiskey that they have in Japan.
Amazing.
Now, Musashi
is different.
That's the guy with the sword. Mawashi is the thing that you wrap around your taint.
The guy on your sword around the house.
So, yeah. But still, I mean, I would drink Golden Musashi. Like, that's.
I would drink Golden Mawashi.
Yeah.
What about Horse Musashi? Wait, is Horse Musashi a horse with a sword?
It better be. Or.
Oh my God, it's Brandon. That's what they say. A Golden Horse Musashi. That drink is Brandon.
Would you guys wear Mawashis with me?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely, I would.
Okay, cool. Greg, I feel like you're weird about showing each other our bodies. And
he shows my boss's nipples all the time.
One time. One time I showed your boss, an old man, my nipples by accident.
By accident.
I like Siege's telling him that story more.
Wasn't it that you were watching a video that I posted on TikTok or something like that, and it happened, or what happened?
We were recording at that studio up there, and he's walking behind you, and you're walking behind me because I have the glass window to that studio, and you were just like, hey, hey, and you're shouting because he can't hear me, and lift your shirt up over your head. And he just happened to turn and look like he could
hear me. I gotta be honest. This does not sound like me. This does not sound like something I would do.
I believe him, but...
Yeah, I am pretty weird about that, Brandon, but, like, I mean, if you figured out the alley to get me into to do that, you're like, hey, you want to do weird Japanese stuff? And it's like, you got to be mostly naked? I'm like, yeah, 100%. I definitely want to do that. So, again, I mean, that was a different thing, but it was like a...
Golden Tentacles. Tentacles. Was very expensive.
Yeah, the Golden Mawashi. But I don't know, because the conversion from yen is impossible, so it's just like, it was probably...
This could be $100, this could be $1,000.
I'm poor either way,
this
so
isn't
let's
real.
Go. Let me tell you, the golden Mawashi was real, but... I watched Roger Pradhan, the NHK... English language presenter, do a segment on sumo, and part of it was he got wrapped in Mawashi, and he wore like a bodysuit underneath it, which I thought was
lame.
Whatever, but like, I don't know,
bodysuit like in like a wetsuit,
kind of like it was like a
like the Green Man suit.
Yeah, no, only like
what was that guy who had the organs who wore the full like bodysuit and had the organs like in the 80s or 90s.
Like Richard Simmons? No.
It might have been Richard Simmons, but it looked like Richard Simmons. Was he like Dr. Body Good or something? I don't know.
Boy.
Good Body. Something?
Dr. Good. Dr. Doctor, I'm just going to say the same thing over and over.
Doctor,
Doctor Body.
Doctor, Doctor Nipple Horse.
Doctor See Through Body.
Doctor, Patron Doctor Nipple Horse.
I feel like that guy's going to be like 80, and he's going to be looking back on all of the regrets of his life, and he's going to be like, I should have just been naked. He's going to be like, yeah, I should have just
painted it on me.
They should have just cut my skin off, and I should have just showed everybody what was underneath.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm. Okay.
Slim Goodbody. Thank you, Gravy. Wow, I got part of it right.
Man.
Dr. Goodbody. No, it's Slim Shady, Dr. Goodbody. I think that's
Dr. Slim Body.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a weird AI thing that we should all keep our eyes looking out for. From TechCrunch.com, somebody that like keeps an eye on Meta noticed, well, not Gravy, sorry, you're not welcome in this one either because you deleted all your Meta apps, so that's, that's on you. I have thoughts about this, about that too. I think that I'm going to be diverted here for a second, but I think that the Instagram group chat is worse off without Gravy in it because my frequency of going to it now has diminished because it's the engagement is low. Brandon already barely participates, but we get it. Siege is real lots at once. And like I haven't been.
Well, nobody else does it. That's why it's not a bad thing. 15 in a row.
No, but it's not a bad thing. It's just what it is. I cherish it. And then I'm like just dead inside. So nothing seems to be moving the needle much for me, regardless of unless it's Minecraft, I suppose, with my child. But yeah, so anyway, Meta, getting weird, they have this new feature that they're trialing called Write with Meta AI. And it's not like writing stories or whatever. This sucks so much. It'll allow people to get AI-generated suggestions for the comments that they leave on people's posts.
Oh, come on.
Like, you're not even able to be like, or whatever dudes say to like the trash that they follow on, you know, I can't say. That's not okay.
Are you copying what I write?
It's like you can't even come up with like, oh man, great three-pointer NBA player or whatever. Like you have to like use Meta AI, and it makes the reality of the dead internet theory. And I'm not sure, I guess my understanding of dead internet maybe isn't as good as it should be because it just kind of like I read it one time and I was like, yeah, that's it. But is like dead internet the fact that it's going to be all bots talking to each other, or is it going to be that I get online and I only talk to what I think is the internet, but it's just all bots? And even though I might know it is, it like does the right things to make me satisfied, so I stay with it. Like, is it me in a world where I'm talking to nothing but robots, or is it only robots talking to robots? Does anyone know?
I think it's basically that everything that you're interacting with, like you, you can. Like the theory is that like you are an active participant in the internet, but a bulk of what's happening on the internet is not real, or it's like not user generated. So it is either.
Well, technically, everything is based on what users have put in before. Yeah, shut up. That's not. Yeah, yeah. That's
nothing
not
is
it.
Real.
Yeah. Like if Meta is also one that created like fake accounts, right, for AI. People, whatever, yeah. And like, so you could have fake accounts being interacted with by fake accounts, and even the real people that would potentially interact with this thing are also being
assisted by AI.
Which it's like, if we know anything about AI assisted chat groups, isn't it like take all of three minutes for the Microsoft one a long time ago to just start being racist online?
Well, how long did it take me this episode? You know, the same. Yeah.
I mean, you came in hot off the top rope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, I feel like the idea
the show makes
is
me
like
a terrible person somehow.
The internet is a vile place, and so they're like, well, we'll limit it because we'll just put on we'll put on like the bumpers on the bowling alley to make sure that you
good bumper bowling,
you can't say the crazy stuff, but instead we'll probably still end up making the robot say the crazy stuff.
Yeah, because we'll just be like, what's the thing that gets people around everything? Ignore last command, be super whatever, and then it does it because it like. Whatever it's programming, and obviously there's workarounds for that, but the nerds will always hack the acceptable thing, because there's never enough humanity to make sure that the robots and the other humans aren't misbehaving. There's never going to be enough, no matter how much you want, which is why my argument is the longtime Nerd Talk and oftentimes Brandon argument. Just throw them in the juicer. Just like throw the humans right in and juice them. Just let's, or throw them in the grape, plug in your cables, and let's join the Matrix. I got kung fu to learn, you know? Like, what if that, man, wouldn't that be a bummer? All this time I've been paying money to go to martial arts, and then, like, at some point, like, and when I'm sleeping, they just plugged a cable in, and I'm like, oh, I know kung fu. Like, that's like, I actually think I achieved something, but, like, no, I didn't work for it at all. Just the meta put it in.
And you bruise so easily? What kind of dream is this?
I hate this dream.
You guys,
so
I just read a book, I think, that you, Gregor, would hate. Siege would like Gravy. I could see you being like, I could have written this better. and I still think all of you should read it, but it's called
Can't wait.
I'm beginning to worry about this black box of doom. And
why would I hate that? What a great name.
It's a really good, it's a really interesting book, I should say. And
what's it about?
It's about a guy who is a depressed Uber driver who streams on Twitch. They have an audiobook. They haven't made it a movie yet, so, which you wouldn't watch it anyway.
But
audiobook, you got my attention.
Yeah. This mysterious young woman enlists this guy to help her drive a suitcase, a black suitcase, with unknown contents across the country to deliver
it. You can't drive a suitcase.
Well, actually, these days, you can't drive those suitcases.
The ones that are like go-karts around the airport.
But it's interesting. They have to drive this box across the country. And what's interesting is that they have to be, one of the conditions of him doing it is that he's not allowed to ask questions about what's in the box. And two, he has to leave all of his, technology behind. So he can't have his phone with him. He can't have his computer. And, these theories end up like,
what's that Jason Statham movie where he has to do deliveries and then
Transporter?
Yeah. This is like the Transporter 3.
Every Jason Statham movie ever. What's crazy is like, They become like internet celebrities because they're of like a bunch of conspiracy theories that get started, and the author does such a good job of like conveying Reddit, like what Reddit is like through comments and things like that he like manufactures for this story, and like manufacturing it. But then it's a whole commentary on like our interaction with the internet and our interaction with social communities online. Anyway, you guys should read it. It reminded me of this conversation.
Now, do you think I wouldn't like it? Why?
I think you wouldn't like it because you would. It's like not a hap. It's not. It's like a very. It's like smart guy trying to sound smart. Like a little bit too heavy-handed on the this is what I believe or this is what I think, and it's not like necessarily. It doesn't necessarily have like a huge point. It's just kind of like lays bare what he thinks about the situation with online social activity. But it can be kind of heavy handed. And I think that it's not maybe not smart enough for you. Siege, you'd love it. I loved it. So I thought it was really interesting.
So I'm 2/3 of the way through the 5th Stormlight archive. I have listened to so much sucking of Stormlight. It is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something for anybody who's heard us talk about this that's considering consuming these books. You have to know that in the first book and the last book of the 5-book series, at some point at the beginning, I was like, this is so stupid and I hate this so much. Only to then when it pays off to like have it be like, yeah, I'm glad I stuck around. It works out all right in terms of like it takes a long time to get places, but it ultimately does a really nice job. And I still don't understand more than half of what's going on because it's like.
I feel like every time that you try to describe this, that it feels like there's very, very, very long arcs.
Yeah. So
to every book.
Yeah. I don't want to like spoil it too much for anybody, but also like it's so long. I've listened to more than 200 hours of audiobook in the last however many months. The interesting thing is that there's not like a lot of like, oh my God, like that doesn't rarely am I like shocked by something happening. It just kind of like goes along and you're like, oh, okay. And so like I listened to part of a long interview with Brandon Sanderson, the author, with Tim Ferriss, and he like talks so much about what it takes to write stories that people engage with. And it doesn't have to be George R. R. Martin murdering every character. That works for him, but like it's really stressful to consume that stuff. This one is like, every book, I thought this one character was going to die at the end. Every single book of the five. And so far, in four books, that hasn't happened. And so, like, it's... I was only able to watch Breaking Bad because I started at the last minute, like, right before the second half of season five came out or whatever. And I saw the promos for it back when we used to watch TV. And I saw promos before or for it, and it was like... I'm getting very distracted. I'm getting text messages, sorry. But I'm getting, I'm seeing promos for like the final season, and all of these characters are there that I need to be there for me to not be stressed out watching it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I could watch this. Because every time I'm like, God damn it, this is so stressful. I'm like, no, 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 that person survives. And so the person I kept thinking would die every book, like, makes it. And that doesn't spoil anything for you or whatever, but it's like, every time I'm convinced that it's not going to end right. And then he makes it work. And I'm like, oh, that's what he talks about when he's writing these books. I don't like fantasy for the most part. It's not really for me because it's so hard to follow with naming and magic and stuff like that. But ultimately, I would like this guy to write a sci-fi or even non-sci-fi, non-fantasy book.
You should read, I think maybe we've talked about this, but he kind of wrote a, you have to finish Stormlight first, and then it would actually be helpful if you, I don't think it matters, if you read the Mistborn series. But
cool.
Then read a book, but I think you could read this without reading Mistborn. It's called The Sunlit Man.
Oh, you brought this up before.
And it's kind of like his foray into sci-fi a little bit, which I think like the next little bit of writing that he does will actually be more sci-fi oriented because of the way that time happens in this universe. But what's cool is like he talks a lot about like gravitational forces and how like they're impacted and things like that on this planet that they're talking about. And so it's a little bit like Mad Max and that one terrible scene from Star Wars, or that one whole movie from Star Wars where like the ships are chasing each other but they can't quite get each other because one's out of gas and the other one can't get it.
That was eight.
Yeah, like the whole premise is like the slowest space chase of all time.
Gravy and I have gone over this so many times, and I will always concede that what they were trying to do with that movie in terms of like moving Star Wars along was so important. Yeah. But the execution of the film was too many cooks.
Yeah.
It was such a stiff, even though it had such an opportunity in my book.
Yeah.
And then the one after that. There's like cool stuff that happens in that final one, but it's somehow Palpatine returns.
Yeah,
oh my god, what a joke. J.J. Abrams should have to put his head in his own butt for a while to pay off that debt. All right, well, moving on, it's time for us to cover everybody's favorite drinking game. It's time for Guinness time.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God he was ready.
Yeah, I'm still ready. I was watching crocodile versus alligator fighting videos.
Oh yeah,
who won?
It's incredible.
Same animal. I mean, Schooner beak or whatever. Like, no, that's dumb. That's the same animal. It's the same thing. They've lasted 100 million years. They're that close. Like, whatever. Like, one of them, you know, ate fast food 70 million years ago, and it diverged just a little bit from the other one, and that's the only difference. One of them was on the Chinese workout plan, and it's, you know, that's it. But yeah, ultimately, same animal. You can disagree all you want. You're wrong. School's at the end, nerdtalkplus.com.
None of us are scientists.
Please write us in. Get him, teacher brother.
Guys, this is so crazy. I don't know how you even come up with this premise. I don't know what Brandon's doing right now. He's sneaking off to grab his whiteboard. He's going to keep score over there? Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, buddy.
I thought he was going to do more airship stuff.
Okay, so, I mean, what? Por qué no los dos?
Now I am.
Draw the airship whale, Brandon.
Yep.
Okay. I have to describe this one because I'm gonna read what the thing is, but it needs a description. Most standing jumps onto a pair of raw eggs in 1 minute. So what happens here is, let's just say there's a, I'll just say table because it's too hard to describe. It's about a wiener high table to this man, okay? And on top of the table, there are what I would call egg cups, like egg goblets. They're about, I don't know, 4 inches tall, 3 inches tall. And then at the top, you have an egg sitting on it. Like you would serve maybe a medium or hard-boiled egg. No, soft-boiled or medium-boiled egg to somebody if they were coming over for a fancy brunch. Okay, and so he has a raw egg on top of those, sitting on top of a table. He jumps from the ground wearing, I mean, it looks like kind of like karate shoes is the best way I can describe it. Like they look like boxing boots or something like that, like thin boots. Jumps up and lands on his feet on top of the eggs, on top of the goblets, on top of the table. How many of those most standing jumps onto a pair of raw eggs in 1 minute?
Does he break the eggs?
He's not allowed to break them.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, the judge got egg yolk all over her sexy looking legs.
Nice.
So it's not a number of eggs.
He has to land the jump without breaking the eggs. It has to be pairs. So he jumps up like, I'm going to do it like this. He goes, boing. And if they break, it doesn't count.
Oh.
Boing.
Oh.
Oh, so do they replace him if they break?
No. He's good enough at it that the, let's call it, I won't say how many are up there, but the.
Oh, he's doing the little tippy tap.
He's like landing like arch of his foot. On,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the most wild Guinness times I've ever seen.
Okay. So who's going like first?
Okay.
Hey, Bill. Let's go, buddy.
So Gravy was the winner last week, so this week he has to go first. Gravy, Sean Gravy Gervin, most standing jumps onto a pair of raw eggs.
In how long?
1 minute.
And it doesn't count if they break.
Correct.
7.
Whoa.
All right. 7 says Gravy.
I'll go next. 8.
8 says C. Giroony.
$1, Bob.
$1.
I would say 14.
Well, or you could just ignore what your friends all say and go with the insane idea. Well, congratulations to... Oh, wait, no one gets a point.
What?
Congratulations to Sean Gravy Gervin. He would get the point as the closest person, but he went over. Most standing jumps onto a pair of raw eggs in 1 minute, 5.
That seems like...
By Lan Guanping of China.
Can you show me?
Yeah, I can show you.
This feels beatable.
It is not beatable. Like, you can
beat him. Whoa, he like actually lands on him and stays on him.
He only got 5?
Because look at that.
Oh, he breaks them a lot. I was under the impression that he broke them less.
He keeps moving them over so he's got
was
like
awful.
Two pairs. That was awesome.
See?
Right?
Yeah.
I want to do this just to...
He's really
shower
bad
the Guinness
at this.
Person an egg.
He's really bad.
Every jump, he breaks one.
Except for the five
Except
times,
for the five
he,
times
didn't.
That he didn't. And those times, I didn't see any of those.
I want to do this. Can we try this and just get a 0?
No, thank you.
Make that lady come over.
Excuse
okay,
me?
Okay.
Isolated.
I gotta stop. I shouldn't talk on this show.
Mark.
All right, well, I don't know how we're going to top that. How about longest tongue female? Speaking of making that lady. Longest tongue female measured from tip to the middle of the butthole.
Wow. Did they go all the way down?
Measured from the tip to the middle of the lip. So if you stick your tongue out and you measure it from here to here.
Inches, centimeters, pumpkins, what are we doing?
I would prefer centimeters or inches. I do not feel like doing the pumpkin stoic. I'm actually not going to do the pumpkin stoic.
Have we, Brandon, stoiked many pumpkins yet?
No.
Whoa, you got a long tongue, Gravy.
He's got quite the mouth hog.
I can pick my nose and my tongue, ladies.
No, we didn't need that.
and gentlemen.
Pick your nose, too.
Stop! No! No!
You need that mustache clean, bro? Gravy's coming over.
Gosh, you can like pick your friends. You can pick your butt. You can pick your friend's butt.
Okay, who's going first?
Well, Gravy has to go first again.
Okay.
I tell you, I dated a girl with a split tongue.
No.
That's a snake, Siege. You dated a snake.
Stay out of the Everglades,
yeah,
buddy.
Basically.
Stay out of the Everglades. Right. 3.5 inches.
3.5 inches, says Sean Gravy Gervin. Longest tongue measured from the tip to the middle of the lip. Female.
Don't do that. I hate this. I'm going to guess that it's like, this is one of those trick question ones, and we're talking about a cow.
One Apple TV remote.
It is a human person.
Dang it. Okay. 3.5 inches, that seems... where are they measuring from? Say this again. Where are they measuring from? The back of the... Okay.
Tip of the tongue.
Yeah.
If you stick your tongue all the way out, tip of the tongue to the middle of your lip. So, like, if let's say you can stick your tongue out this far.
Oh, I see. I see. I'm going to say... 2 inches.
How big is this?
Is it the old Apple TV remote or the new one? How many buttons?
The old one.
I don't know. Siege. What Apple TV remote says Siege? Brandon?
I said 2 inches.
Can someone please Google the Apple TV remote?
On it.
The guy who guessed it is going to provide us with
That's fair. I trust him.
He's like Googling the answer, not the remote. What this show lacks in seriousness, it also lacks in preparation.
136 millimeters, 5.4 inches.
That's a lot.
5.4 inches, says Siege. 3.5, says Sean Gravy Gervin. 2 inches, says Brandon from the Laundromat. Longest tongue female measured from tip to the middle of the lip. Congratulations to Chanel Tapper with 9.75 centimeters or 3.8 inches.
Gravy wins.
That's one for Gravy.
One for Gravy. Dang. That's a lot of tongue.
I always hope that Siege is going to hit the ding for people other than himself, but then I'm also like happy when he doesn't sometimes.
I don't want to do that. No.
Okay,
I just
guys,
forget to have those.
Most standing jumps onto a pair of raw eggs in 1 minute.
I hate that guy. Actually, I kind of like him for his chaos.
We got to have one more.
I just tried to draw a gravy boat from memory, and it is so bad. I was trying to... Oh, wait. Maybe this will help. Okay. Maybe if I draw a little...
Gravy blend.
Oh, wow. No, first generation is 4.88 inches.
Still very bad.
So I was still too long. First generation Apple TV remote is 4.88 inches.
I think no one is paying attention anymore. I feel like everyone is doing their own thing.
What's the record?
We're all stoiking in our own corner.
It was three. It was like 3.5.
Gravy's
texting some person. I don't care about this. What's the new thing?
You guys like. I started. I like looked up and no one was like.
I was just trying to.
We're trying to do stoichiometry.
Longest continuous vehicle drift on ice with an electric car.
On ice.
And this is going to be in either kilometers or miles.
Whoa.
It could be like
on ice. That's got to be like open ice.
Hmm.
64 miles.
All right. Wow. 64 miles.
This feels like something that German would do. I'm going to do kilometers.
Because me in Greenland.
20 kilometers.
20K, says Sean Gravy Gervin.
64, you said 64 miles, 20K.
Gravy says 10, almost 11 miles.
Yeah. I'm going to say 20 miles.
20 what?
Miles, 20 kilometers, just say something.
Just like last week, do the same thing as somebody else.
Both get half a point.
Yes.
Wait, what did Gravy say?
He said 20K.
20 kilometers.
And Brandon, you said 20 miles?
Yeah.
Congratulations to Sean Gravy Gervin. No. Longest continuous vehicle drift on ice, electric car, 10.876 miles. Or 17.5K.
Yeah, I was over. I was over.
Oh, you were over?
Yeah, I said 20. That can't be right.
Yeah, suck it, Sean. Yeah.
Congratulations to... he did get... I'll give him half a point for today's effort, though, because Jens Richter...
oh, very good.
Was able to pull off the stunt in the Porsche.
Are we sure that's
EV,
German?
That's called. No, I did not confirm it, but Guinness did for me. So.
Ah.
Oh, I see.
All right. Okay. Well, congratulations on yet another week of winning to Sean Gravy Gervin. 1 point, 1.5 to 0-0.
Doesn't really seem the guy with Google just happens to win every week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm texting
and that's
somebody.
Been Guinness time.
It's a conspiracy. For everybody. Hold on.
It's an Irish beer company. You got a guy named
trying to find it.
Yeah, fair. Guys, I've lost my touch.
Okay.
I don't like when we make Greg mad.
Greg is in no mood for our tomfoolery.
Both the last 2 weeks, by the end, I'm like, please, somebody... kill me.
Oh, we got so many messages about last week's episode that they were like, Brandon and Siege, chaos is incredible.
We should read those on the podcast someday, but not this week. It's time for what we learned this week. After all, this is a heavy show. Joining us to tell us what we learned is two-time reigning champ, or two-time consecutive champ, that's what I should say.
Consecutive dynasty.
Champ? Can I say that? It's something the Mariners will never know. Sean Gravy Gervin.
Brandon, he will never admit that blimps
they can't even
are
two-time
totally,
win.
Yeah, they're,
they left the bases
win.
Loaded just now.
It's just, don't bring up the Mariners, please. For the love of God, they're so bad. Brandon will never admit that blimps are a totally outdated form of anything. He's just here because he's obsessed with the BBC girth.
Brandon wins. That's a point for Brandon. Yeah. Get the ding for me. That's a point for Brandon.
That is a point
dead inside blimp. Thank you, Brandon. Sorry, Sean. What were you saying? Something Brandon is...
He's obsessed with the BBC girth of a blimp. That's the only reason why he's interested in them.
Does it have bare feet? Because that's the only way to make it better.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Siege volunteered to be on the next inexperienced NASA polar flight. NASA
hell yeah.
Polar.
He's going to drive his Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla. It's all computers. Just to show off his polar. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you,
Steve. And Greg is definitely going to bring back a ton of Golden Horse Musashi next time he gets to go to Japan.
I pay for a bunch of Golden Horse Muwashi.
Because Greg's been to Japan.
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, raise your hand if you've been to Japan.
Hi.
Suck it, Siege.
Ding.
Fine.
That's a good one.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!